Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's happening? Welcome back. 404-892-2703. Phone lines are still jam-packed. Public education. Educational choice. Big topics, especially in local political conversations. In the studio, I have two dynamic individuals, councilman from the city of Atlanta, Andre Dickens, in the building. Councilman, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Rashad?
I'm doing excellent, my friend. Always good to see you. Yep. Also, Greg Clay, community activist and chairman of the Men of Book. And Book is Better Outcomes for Our Kids. What up, bro?
Rashad, what's going on, man?
Good to see both of you.
You got it warmed up, man.
Man, you know, this is what we do, man.
Yes, sir.
Every day. I'm glad to see both of you here. Mm-hmm. We are talking about something very specific. We're talking about education. Mm-hmm. School is about to start for APS next week. Other schools have already started around the metro area. What is it about educational choice? And I used to be on the other side of this, like way on the other side, okay? Well, I was just anti-charter, anti-publicly funded charter. And then I realized after a trip to D.C., that there are charter systems that can work and mm-hmm. work quite well, right? What is it about educational choice that just kind of sends people to a partisan talking point and nothing more?
Well, I think, people saw charter as an invasion mm-hmm. onto the traditional public school. And so we all, you know, if my mama went to Thero, or my mama went to Doug, I went to Doug, you know, my aunties went to Doug, you know, that's how you like it. You kind of just say, I'm going to, you know, the high school that I grew up in the neighborhood and I want my kid to go there, et cetera, et cetera. And so then you saw this charter movement where some people felt like this was an experiment that kind of lasted too long. Charter was supposed to, it was supposed to be the place where you flush out ideas that couldn't work in a massive school system for 60, 70,000 kids. And so you try for, you know, 300 or 500 kids in a smaller setting, see if it works, see if a longer day works, see if augmenting it with, you know, STEM things, robotics, or whatever you were going to do. And then you say, okay, that works. We can now put that in the full environment of all the schools. But then it stayed and chartered, that school stayed, and then more schools came in as chartered. And so I remember I was kind of like you, Rashad. I was on the other side saying, you know, I went to all APS. I went to the schools that were, you know, put in my community. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up and I realized, no, you didn't. Because I was supposed to go to Harper High School, but I went to the charter of that day, which was Mays High School. Mm. It was the new kid on the block.
Right.
It was the beautiful campus. It was on a hill. It had everything. They used to lie to you and tell you when you're ninth grade, they say, oh, a bus had left by the swimming pool. We did not have a swimming pool. But the 12th graders would tease us and say, yeah, you go up there, you make a left by the swimming pool, and then you'll be right at Miss Jones' class.
Wow.
You know, but it was it wasn't a charter, but it was like the charter because it was the new school, all the great amenities and teachers and everything was there, and I got the benefit out of that. I was able to be the first in my family to go to college because of that environment. Not to say that I wouldn't have got that at Harper, but it did have a different environment at that school than the other school.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And Rashad, when we talk about bringing a conversation back to the middle about those things that folks might not be as informed about, bringing that conversation to the middle that says, hey, we still believe in traditional schools. We still believe in charter schools and the public options out there for families. But it's up to the folks in that household to make the best decision for their students. And so while Dre, who's a Mays alum, along with myself, you know, while we've got this Atlanta Public Schools background, you know, now when we talk about education reform, having this candid conversation, especially on the Book platform, about how can we bring these options to communities, to parents, to make better decisions about what might be unique to their student and what might be the best fit based on the neighborhood that they live and choose to live in or the options that may or may not be available.
I think a misconception about Book is that the organization is a pro-charter organization, mm-hmm. and it's really not.
It's not.
It's a pro-option, a pro-educational choice, mm-hmm. a pro-information mm-hmm. organization.
Yes.
And there are dynamics here that would help a parent understand how to better connect with the traditional public school as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's why our role in book Better Outcomes for Our Kids is to elevate the conversation, Rashad. And it's not, again, to say, hey, one school is better than the other. But when it comes to making one of the most critical decisions of a family's, you know, generation, mm-hmm. where you send your kids to school, you know, what's happening in elementary school, how can I get them on their latter years of high school in the best position, whether they're going to college, whether they're jumping into the workforce or becoming an entrepreneur based on what information they have been exposed to. It's up to us as folks that are knowledgeable. When you break down our individual profiles, you know, I'm just as involved in traditionals as I am in charter schools, as I am in other opportunities, as well as, you know, Councilman Dickens. You know, and so we've got this coalition of folks that as we begin to look at the school year, we're doubling down and tripling down on, you know, making sure that we're keeping score. You know, every year when the school year starts, we want to say, hey, what's the best options that we have for our school clusters and APS and across the region? And it's about getting listeners, you know, excited, and parents and stakeholders excited about the opportunities that we have to plug in, get involved, not just in a conversation, but a call to action to get them engaged in their kids' school, their niece or nephew, their godson, godchild, you know, their school. We're asking everyone to get engaged and help us out.
Last May, I had the great privilege of speaking at 8 different graduations. Wow. Okay, 8. Now, every May, I speak at graduations. I also had the opportunity last May to speak at KIPP Collegiate, and they had their college signing day. Now, at KIPP, they bring all of the schools together, well over 3,000 students, parents, faculty. What I saw there was a little different than some of the other places I spoke at. There was an embracing of the culture like I had not witnessed at any other institution. They had students dance, rap, everything that was an expression of blackness. I'm so serious. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful sight. And they came out with the colleges they were going to, the jersey, and announced in front of this audience as if they were being drafted in the NFL. And when these students, these seniors who were graduating, came out and said, I'm going to Yale, Albany State, whatever it may be, the crowd went wild. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What a boost.
And let me tell you, Rashad, so I did the same thing for Mays High School's signing day last year as their keynote speaker. And so when we talk about these parallel kind of concepts around getting youth that are in these learning centers excited, you know, you got the same thing that's happening in the KIPP Atlanta Collegiate that's happening at Mays. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds like y'all blew the roof off of it. I mean, now, we were turned up at Mays, Dre, with Councilman Dickens. We were turned up at Mays. Yeah. But those types of experiences where schools are thinking about how to get students excited in a different way, how do we make that a part of the regular culture if it's not discussed on mediums like these? How do we make that a part of the regular culture when kids are saying, hey, you know, I am my brother or sister's keeper. Right. We're going to make sure that they get it through when it comes to the decisions that they're making to their schools and the excitement. You just can't compete with it.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is culture. I mean, you use the word. Culture is something that culture, as well as the curriculum and the community, all matter. I mean, it's the three C's sound like. But I think that the culture that you embrace, when you said that KIPP, these younger students are able to see these older students.
That's right.
And it's a mirroring. And basically, they want to model after them. They want to be just like them. I want to walk across the stage and hold my jersey. And I think what you did, ironically, Clay, I was the Saturday speaker for Mays. I was the baccalaureate speaker, and you were the graduation speaker last year.
The day before.
And so, you know, trying to make sure that they see us as Mays alum. You're younger than me, but being able to see yourself in these position holders, in these people that you value. Every school has to do that. That's creating culture. That's being able to say, we want to do this. Awesome. Same thing with parents and dads as well.
We got more on the other side. I'm in the studio with Councilman Andre Dickens and Greg Clay. We got more. 30 minutes after the hour. Realest Man on Radio. What's happening? Welcome back. You're still getting real with the Realest Man on Radio. I have in the building Councilman Andre Dickens, City of Atlanta, and Greg Clay, community activist and chairman of the Men of Book. Book stands for Better Outcomes for Our Kids. And what kind of music y'all listen to, man?
Man, I listen to rap, Atlanta, trap music, everything.
That's what I'm talking about.
Trap. I listen to gospel.
All of it. I tell people all the time, man, I love trap music and the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's a balance, right? And I've heard you talk about it many times on the show. I share that kind of in my top five. I got T.I. there.
Come on, bro. You know, they released Did y'all see the thing yesterday?
I got tipped.
It was so New York biased, man.
Oh, my God. Let me see this damn list, Jamie. I know we weren't scheduled to talk about this, but so I got to bring it up.
Yeah.
Number one, I know I'm going to offend so many people. I may even offend you guys. They have number one on the top 50 greatest rappers of all time. Number one, I need y'all to sit down for this, is Jay-Z. I'm so disappointed in that,
I'm a fan of the Jigga Man, right?
I'm a fan too, bro, but number one.
It's so lazy to put him at the top.
Come on, man.
That's because he's popular. He's married to the hotness, Her Honor, Beyonce.
Right, exactly.
And he's got longevity. He deserves to be in the top 10, but number
that's
one.
That's a lazy
and
then, one.
That's a lazy one, man. Such an easy thing to throw out there. And then to put Andre 3000 at 17, that's
crazy.
What I said. Come on, man.
Crazy. And then they got Tip at 24, man.
Tip, man.
Y'all shouldn't even printed this list. Show, man.
The problem is, Tip going to fight everybody that's above him.
Right.
So 23, 22, 21, 20, y'all better start looking out.
I know. Seriously.
I think
he about to call you out expeditiously.
I think his most recent project, though, Tip's most recent project is his hardest album, man. From a content.
It really is.
Maturation of content.
It didn't get the kind of spins we expected it to get. But when you listen to it, that was his most authentic.
Yeah.
It really was.
It really was.
Yeah, man. So I'm a little disappointed in this list, and I know some people are just riding with Jay-Z at number one. And I tell people all the time, his last album, that 444, nobody in the hood was bumping that, man.
Nah, man.
Nobody.
Like one, two songs. That,
sonically, it was just a different type of album.
That album was not made for y'all. That album was made for the awards. That's the kind of album you get some champagne and you put a strawberry at the bottom of it. And you listen to that album.
Right. Well, that's where he's progressed in his life. That's where he's progressed in his life. He ain't drank water out the faucet in 20 years.
Yeah, come on, man. Exactly, man. All right, so that list is out there. We'll put that list back on the Real Talk page. Let's get back to education. What do you think the biggest challenge right now, as it relates specifically to black folk, to us understanding the options of public education?
I think it's involvement. You know, the challenge of not being present, you know, and a lot of conversations that I have because, you know, I debate and I'm transparent about my perspective because mine is one where you're not going to not find me in the schools.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be in the board meetings. I'm going to be in the other kind of on surface meetings, but I'm going to be attached to organizations like Better Outcomes for Our Kids, along with different roles and responsibilities in this realm of just being informed.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, those folks that even have a different choice or opinion about school choice, once you really boil down to it, it comes from either a lack of presence or a lack of information where this opinion has kind of led them this way. And you're angry at us. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, all schools shouldn't have quality teachers and quality programs. You know, I'm actually with you on that and how we can find the resources. But when we're battling about, you know, two schools on the west side and both of them aren't doing well or doing as good as we'd like them to be. Let's talk about reading programs. Let's talk about literacy in a different way and arithmetic in a different way and how we can put boots on the ground. And this call to action, this clarion call behind a person like Councilman Dickens, which I appreciate him using his voice, his platform, and his experience as an example. You know, how do we get folks to this point to say, hey, I'm willing to give up my time or my resources to actually improve student outcomes. And you just got to be present, man.
Yeah, man, let me just take as Clay just highlighted those things, I'm going to take the strengths-based approach on this one right here, too, which is to say I see the positive outcomes when we do involvement, when we have parental involvement and community involvement. If you're an adult, and you can't walk in any school and anybody knows you, you have not done community well enough.
Mm.
So if schools are a fundamental piece of infrastructure to our town, everybody at Kroger, when you go in there, that person at that line, after a while, they say, okay, you live in this neighborhood. Hey, lady, what's going on? The produce person, you know, if the nail shop person knows you, but you don't know anybody at any school, I encourage you that either on day one, which is Monday, This coming Monday is back to school day in the city of Atlanta and some other surrounding cities and counties. But if you, from that day to the last day of this school year, haven't volunteered, you haven't been one of the men that just hold the doors and carpool, just, hey, good to see you, son. All right, you ready for school today? If you haven't delivered a free lunch, you know, I'm doing a backpack giveaway on Saturday, but somewhere about 3 months from now, those supplies wear off. So yeah, we need to go visit these schools, say, hey, teachers, I'm bringing donuts today. What do y'all need? And the teachers say, hey, we need a rug in my class. Or, you know what, these iPads don't work anymore. Whatever it is, involvement by parents and involvement by community. We are not doing community well if we don't know somebody at that school. Conversely, we are doing it well when they call you. When you're a business person in that community, you do taxes, or you're a graphic designer, and the school says, hey, we just need a little help. And you say, all right, here, I'll do the logo for you, or I'll do something. Whatever your expertise is, if you can give it to your church or you can give it to a school in the area, you just did a valuable community service in your community.
A lot of people don't realize this, but you can join the PTA without having a student in the school. And I tell folks all the time, treat your local PTA like you treat the church. Join one.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Join one.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
That's awesome, man.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well I wanted to add, you know, when it comes to just being involved, that's why as organizations like Book really double and triple down, especially going into the school year, you know, we're fortunate to partner with Atlanta Neighborhood Charter Schools for our first event of the school year, which is August the 29th. At 6:30, we'll be over at ANCS. They've got a new brother lead in their school in Chuck Meadows. Yep. And so we're excited to have a lot of community partners. They're in the Jackson cluster over on the eastern side of the city. But we're making sure that people know that we want to make sure as an organization, you can come to us for information. We're going to be elevating this conversation and this dialogue. And after you leave the PTA meeting or wherever it is that you're, you know, involved and plugged in, we want to make sure that folks are coming together with a lot of different types of opinions to learn about school leaders' visions, to learn about, you know, how best to stay involved and stay engaged, and bring additional people to the table, because it's so many people that just aren't involved in the process, Rashad. That's why opportunities like these are so important, mm-hmm. because, you know, your listening base, you know, we know they have developing opinions about a lot of things in education, and so it's just awesome for us to be here, take advantage of these things.
Rashad, can I plug my back to school?
Absolutely, man.
All right, so Councilperson Andrea Boone and myself on Saturday, this Saturday at noon, we are giving away about 1,000 backpacks at the C.T. Martin Recreation Center on Martin Luther King. That's C.T. Martin Recreation Center right off of 285. Come get a backpack from 12 to 2. We're going to have, you know, food and hot dogs and stuff, and we're also going to have some little performers on the stage, some of your very great APS students, some cheerleaders and all that. So come on out. And there's a, you know, the school system itself has a big back-to-school bash at 10 o'clock at the World Congress Center. Make it to one of them. Get some great stuff for some kids in your community, at your school, and in your neighborhood. And, Rashad, thank you for all that you do. And Clay, let's keep going after these kids and making sure we wrap our arms around them.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And more information about Book can be found at bookatl.org. That's the homepage for our content and information. I want to make sure that folks that visit our homepage take our survey. That's a great way for us to not see where you are in your walk in education, but as we build our profile, we want to make sure that folks get the good information. And so bookatl.org, and to RSVP for that event that I just mentioned, it's Community Talks August 2019.eventbrite. And so all of this is free. We'll have refreshments open to the public. And so we're looking forward to, again, having these conversations about, you know, great schools in our community and making sure that folks are informed and engaged on our platform. So thank you, Rashad.
Well said. I thank you both. Thank you both for doing the work of God and helping our students achieve.
That's right.
404-892-2703, get you in the conversation. I just want to drop a note before I go to break. When I went to D.C. and visited some of those charter school programs, publicly funded charter school programs, I was amazed because there was an emphasis placed on Black excellence. And they could not do it that way inside of a traditional public school. There was one school I went to, the principal, who was a brother, came to work every day in a dashiki. And he was serious about it. On the walls, going to the classes, nothing but HBCU paraphernalia. Nothing but. You couldn't do that in a traditional public school setting. But they were doing it there, and these students already were telling me about which HBCU they were going to. upon graduation. Hmm. It was pretty dope.
That's powerful.
All right. We got more on the other side. Realest Man on Radio. I'm still in the studio with Atlanta Councilman Andre Dickens and Greg Clay, chairman of the Men of Book Better Outcomes for Our Kids. We're still talking about this list of 50 greatest rappers of all time. Okay. Let me just name the top three on this list. Jay-Z, Nas, and Joe Budden. Joe Budden obviously wrote this list.
Joe Budden wrote this list, man.
Right.
He's not supposed to be on the top three, not the top 13, not the top 30.
Yeah. Can somebody, I challenge anybody right now to call me and tell me a Joe Budden line right now. Give me a Joe Budden bar.
That you're willing to defend.
That you're willing to defend, exactly.
But we also said, you know, the last slide on the list, 50, you know, the crapshoot that comes to Lloyd Banks being number 50, Rashad.
Yeah.
That just isn't, you know, credibility.
Who should not be on the list?
Oh, starting with Lloyd Banks.
Well, okay. Definitely. All right. Yeah. I'm outside of Joe Budden.
Outside of
and
Joe
Lloyd Budden. Banks.
Yeah, well, that's two. We got room for some other people. I don't even know Royce. I don't think not yet.
AZ's a lyricist, but is he top 50?
Mm. Yeah, AZ is a lyricist. Stack Bundles is some
I don't know if he's top 50.
Yeah, I'm looking at Mason Betha.
Yeah.
Carriage.
I would argue, I know he's iconic, but I would argue rise. That Raekwon should not be on the list at 25.
Yeah.
I would argue that. Right. Maybe he's number 50.
Mm-hmm. And I love Ghostface, but not 9. Ghostface, he go out of his way to be, difficult to understand and elusive.
Yeah,
you know, we move him down so I can understand him a little better. Move up T.I. and 3000. Mos Def is way
Jadakiss
down here.
Top 10. Come up some. Jadakiss is top 10 though.
Hell no.
No, is not it? Top 10.
Right. He's in that number what? 7 on this 10. Particular list.
I think these cats paid to be on this list.
Rashad,
at least the top 10.
I think you drop your own list, my friend.
I'm gonna drop my own. That's right. That's how we'll do that.
I think you drop a 25 and just
call it a
day.
Yeah.
Just go at them.
That's it. All day. All right. Back to educational choice.
Yes, sir.
For those who are listening, because we have a lot of parents who listen to the show. If you could give advice to parents right now about making their current traditional public school work better for them and their kids, what advice would you give them?
That's excellent. I mean, I'm doing that on a daily basis, especially considering some of the recent changes of leadership at some of the traditional schools that I have an intimate relationship, whether it be programming or working with some of the teachers and counselors there. You know, my conversation with them is, you know, don't rest on your opinion based off of what the past has looked like. You know, you've got to get engaged and go to these open houses. I think that the district APS has done a good job of, you know, kind of getting information out there to say, hey, come, the door is open, the front door is open, come out to these open houses. Before you firm up your opinion and your criticisms, let's talk about what it is that we need and what role you might be able to play. Even if you are able to make any meetings, right? What is it that we can do in our particular silos of influence, whether it's just on your street or just with your neighbors? You know, I think that folks just keeping score again. I use that term, but that's where I'm at. Just in, you know, we've got to talk about how we are accountable to what it is that we expect from each other. You know, keeping score to say, hey, I'm involved, I'm plugged in, and that doesn't happen without going up to the school, building those relationships. And so if you're a parent at one of the APS clusters, you know, do an inventory. Who do I need to know?
Right?
I might know my son or daughter's homeroom teacher, but who is it that I need to know if they're interested in the extracurricular activity? Mm-hmm. You know, I played baseball at Mays. You know, honestly, I know my pop is listening because he's your biggest fan, pop. I don't know if you ever met any of my baseball coaches, right? But it's that type of thing that's said.
Right.
And I'm not throwing pop under the bus. I'm just saying those are the types of opportunities where you might find out that, hey, we might need some extra dollars for some Gatorade.
Right.
We might need some help with the construction of the bench because it's been there
since wobbly.
1980. Yeah. Whatever,
right.
You know, right.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's standing back in my lane as a city councilman, I passed legislation that introduced back 3 years ago, which said that when we spend money on some of these things, if it's within a half mile of a school, it goes first. So basically, when you go by a school,
wow,
Sidewalks need to be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So if you go by a school and there's crumbled sidewalks, then call us. Let us know, because our resources are supposed to make sure that around a school, you know, dilapidated housing. So if there is a rundown home, you know, and it's within the next couple of blocks of a school, let us know. We
should
have kids passing by a rundown home that's vacant and spooky and all that other stuff, ratting, you know, and all these other things that could be crime ridden. Let us know. We will put our resources there as a priority at the top of the list. So for a community member, even if you don't have a kid, you get that benefit, because we wanted to make sure that the school environment got better resources first. In a limited resource environment financially, we want to apply them to the places that best we can get the best benefit out of, and that's around the school. So if you ever have something like that, call Andre Dickens at Andre4Atlanta or 404-330-6041 downtown.
All right, give out the number again.
404-330-6041. That's for Andre Dickens, and I'm at Andre4Atlanta.
And your book bag or supplies giveaway Saturday?
Yes, we're giving away backpacks and supplies this Saturday at noon at the C.T. Martin Recreation Center on Martin Luther King. So from 12 to 2, make sure you get there.
Awesome. Well, again, Rashad, thank you so much. You know, from a book platform, we're excited to have advocates like Councilman Dickens that continue to, you know, beat this clarion call drum to make sure people are involved and engaged. Just a reminder to listeners, August 29th is our first event over at Atlanta Neighborhood Charter School. You can RSVP at communitytalksaugust2019.eventbrite. And more information about better outcomes for our kids, take our survey, can be found at bookatl.org. So thank you so much, Rashad, for having us.
Thank you both. Bookatl.org. Jamin, did we post the – yes, so we have – the actual survey on Real Talk with Rashad Richie. Take that survey, bookatl.org, Realest Man on Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.